Welcome to BizBytes, brought to you by ComTogether, helping businesses like yours build their brand through telling amazing stories to engage and grow audiences on multiple platforms. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to a very special episode of BizBytes. I say special because anyone that knows me knows I love talking about AI and finding out how that's going to make a huge impact on business. It already is, and lots of people playing with that. Well, my guest today, playing with AI is probably an understatement of what he does. We've got to know each other a little bit in recent times. And I think without further ado, I'm just going to introduce Johan Nagira. He is, a real pleasure to have on this program.
Thank you, Anthony. A pleasure to be here.
And I guess let's just start with a basic introduction from your perspective. The brand is Business Authorities, but tell me a little bit about, you know, where that is going at the, where that is, what it does, and where it's going.
Yeah, for sure. So Business Authorities, we did start it 5 years ago. And the reason we started that was because, we were doing pretty well in the business, and to say the least. And then unfortunately, this is a sad way to start the podcast. I didn't think you were going to go straight there, but this is the reason why it started. Unfortunately, two of my friends, they took their own lives, and it was a horrible thing to happen. And, at one of their funerals, there was 500 people there. And I went, wow, like this should never, ever happen. And because in business, you and I, we both know one decision, one offer, one new joint venture, one decision can actually change the entire trajectory of the business. And I felt bad that I wasn't around because I was busy with my head down 18-hour days building this other company. And I said, wow, if I had been there, I could have helped them. And then I started calling up all my other friends who were also in business and said, how's business? And they were everything that they were saying was, I saw patterns. They don't have enough time. They were running out of cash. Their team members were not adequate. There was all the same common things that everybody experiences. Some of them, they were relying on big projects that got taken away and they didn't know what to do. They'd been in business for 5, 10, 15 years and they felt stagnant. They couldn't grow. They reached a plateau. They didn't know what to do. So I said, hey, I'm gonna find all the most amazing people that I know that have helped me in my journey. I'm going to put them on stage and I'm going to say, these are not trained speakers, by the way, not the speakers who are fully polished, who come up and say, da, 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 by the way, you can buy my course and the value is $50,000. But if you buy today, you'll get it for $5,000. It was none of that. The rules of the game that they wanted to come play and be on the stage was you had to come and you had to overdeliver and there was no pitching. And by not pitching, guess what happened? Everybody gets business, right? Because people understand the real value of what the people are sharing. And so by the end of that weekend, and it's a formula, like a step-by-step, 10-step formula to build an empire. And so by the end of that weekend, everybody walked away with a blueprint of how they could grow their business. So that was the inception of how Business Authorities started. It started with 150 people at the Pullman Hotel in the auditorium over a 2-day weekend. And then by the time that 3 years had passed, we had grown to 3,000 members. So it's a pretty epic growth curve there. And every time we ran an event, it would get sold out in 24 hours because we would just have real authentic people sharing how they're building business. And the community really grew and rallied around that. And then what happened was the pandemic hit. And I have ADD. I can't sit in front of a Zoom screen for, more than an hour. That's pushing my limits. And the events that we used to run started off at midday and they used to go until 6 o'clock, the official time. But what would happen is most of the people would still be there at midnight because of the network that was created and they were just having so much fun. And we always, every event we set up like it was a wedding. We would know exactly who's on the guest list, who they would need to sit next to so that they could joint venture and do deals together. So that's how we built the culture of Business Authorities. And by the way, Business Authorities, it's not about me, it's about the people who are the authorities in their niches to get them to come up and share. And it's all about sharing. And so through Business Authorities, I met Paul Dunn, right? And you and I both share him as a common friend. Paul Dunn is one of the most incredible humans to ever walk the planet. This guy, at this point, he was 75 years old. He's now 80. 75 years old, he rocked the stage. He was the closing finale act of the event. And man, the man has some energy. And so connecting with him, and then through B1G1, that's how we can create impacts. And every event that we ran from there was, you know, donated back to B1G1. B1G1 is an amazing organization. I might let you talk a bit more about them as well, if you like. I've been doing a lot of talking. So that's the inception of how Business Authorities started. And after the pandemic, we put it on pause, and it's been on pause, but we're going to reactivate that again shortly. That's where we're at.
I love that. And geez, you cut a lot of territory there, and we're maybe almost sort of working backwards a little bit, but yes, certainly. And I've spoken about it on the podcast before. B1G1 is an amazing organization, and anyone that doesn't know anything about it, you do look them up. We'll include a link in the show notes as well. I'll remember to do that, because they're a fantastic organization that really do allow any business of any size to be giving back, you know, in a very meaningful and simple way. And it's how we change the world. And I think, you know, you and I have spoken about that separately as well, that, and I think that's where it's almost where the impetus to start things from, it links beautifully with that, because here you have people that you lost, and, you know, being able to give back and make sure people are okay and change the way people think and engage is just such an important thing to be able to do. And I think when, you know, businesses, there's a lot of talk about businesses being purpose driven, and a lot of the time I think it is just talk. I think the difference is when you can do something meaningful, as I know in your doing in your business, and I know that's what B1G1 does, that is where that you really differentiate yourself from the herd. And there's so much evidence that Paul will talk till the cows come home about why there's so much evidence to suggest that when you do this, it makes a real impact on your business and your clients, because it is real. And I think that's probably a good summary of B1G1. And I keep saying it, and I'm going to talk to Paul tomorrow. So hopefully by the time this episode comes out of the podcast, I'll have been recorded or ready to record the episode with Paul, because he's promised me he'll get on the show. So we'll unpack B1G1 and other things a lot more when we do that. And I love the fact that you and I connected because of Paul, and yes, and that shared sense of technology and wanting to collaborate. And in fact, that's what you're doing in your business as well. And exactly. I think, you know, that I love the way that happens, and magic does happen when you get the right people together, doesn't it? It's just, and taking the time and attention to work that out and sit the right people together is just huge.
That is the, and that's, you nailed it. You know, the right time, energy, and the right people. When you put those together, magic happens. And so my business partner, Walt Bayless, so he interviewed me on a podcast, I think it was about 6 years ago now. And then pretty much every quarter, he would chase me up going, "Hey, what are you up to? What are you up to? Can we be in business? Can we be in business?" I'm like, "Dude, man, I'm sorry, I can't." And the reason I would say that is because if I can't give my 100% to something, I'm not gonna waste anybody's time. And, you know, so the stars happened to align. We were in the middle of the pandemic, and we got a break. So I'm in Melbourne, Australia. We'd been in lockdown for 300 days, and it opened up. You know, we said, "Hey, we can fly again." I went, "Cool, grab the kids, grab my wife." We fly up to the Gold Coast because we missed being in warm weather, the beach. We love the Gold Coast. So we go up to the beach, and then I wake up early. So I messaged Walt and I said, "Hey, I know you're on the Gold Coast. Do you want to have breakfast?" He's like, "I'll be there." And so we caught up for breakfast. And over breakfast, I'm like, "Man, this is one of the most genuine geniuses I've ever met." And I'd asked him, "Hey, what are you working on?" And so his brain works differently. He's got that engineer, logic, creative. I know those words, those three don't usually go together, engineer, logic, and creative, but he can just create these amazing solutions in his brain. And so he showed me this technology that he had, and he actually had 8 pieces of technology. And I was just, my jaw was dropping. By the time he showed me the eighth one, my brain had exploded. My jaw was on the floor. I was like, man, this is absolutely incredible. And he was running the company with eight separate companies, eight separate entities, eight separate marketing strategies, all this stuff. I was like, dude, you need to combine all this because it's one avatar and launch it this way. And he did that. And he called me back 2 weeks later and he said, oh my God, you just changed everything. What has just been created is absolutely insane. Do you want to be part of this? And I said, you know what? All right, cool. I would like to be part of this. And I wrote him an email and I said, here you go. You have it in writing. You have, and this was April 2001. I said, you have until December, the end of December. You can kick me out at any time, but I'm going to work in this company like it's my own. And we did that. And it grew and it grew and it grew. And it just kept, every time I got on a Zoom with somebody who I wanted to show this to, their jaws would drop. They'd be like, oh my God, this is absolutely incredible. How long has this technology existed for? Now, this is pre-ChatGPT, right? ChatGPT came in, AI came in. AI wasn't even a thing. Walt was already onto AI, 2 years prior to that. So that's how all this happened. So AI has been a major part of everything that we do in our business. The business is called Comet Suite, and Comet Suite has been growing at a rapid pace. In the last, 2-3 years, 2,500 people. And the 2,500 people have just come on board in the last 2 years. Before that, it was 50 because we were getting growing pains and starting to learn how to sell this new technology because everybody's like, AI, what do you mean AI? I don't understand how AI works. So we had this adoption curve where we had to educate people and show them the power of it. And then they'd say, wow, that's great, but that's too much. But now, thanks to AI, everybody's got access to it. They understand the adoption is much more easier and they just go, yep, I want it. I understand it. Let's go. So yeah, back to you, Mr. Anthony.
Yeah, well, I think there's quite a lot to unpack, but I think that's the interesting thing, isn't it? That at the moment, when you say AI to people, immediately they go ChatGPT, and which is great, but not only are there competitors to ChatGPT, but AI is not limited to what ChatGPT can do, and as great as that is, I've watched a lot of businesses just create new roles for them within the business. So they've fixed one role by having ChatGPT, but in order to get that working and functioning as they should, they've created another role. So it's kind of like, are they better off? I don't know. And I think there's a lot of that finding out period at the moment with people and playing with the technology. But AI is so much more than that. As you say, it existed before. I've worked with companies that were using it before. There's certainly a well-known not-for-profit in the legal profession that has been using a version of an AI type tool to help with legal documents. And that's been around for a number of years now. And so it's amazing how there's some of this is catching up, but there's a lot of advancement that's going on in the background that is more than just simply, hey, can you write something for me, and outspit something.
So you would probably be remember when the internet first came out, right? Everybody was like, it's a fad, it'll go, what am I going to do? Just send an email, big deal, boring. But now the internet is actually all around us. It's plugged into what we do. If I'm sitting here and talking, I'm sure my Google Assistant is listening. It's part of our lives. It's part of everything we do in terms of the internet. And now AI is becoming at that point as well. What I and my company could do in 6 months, we can now do it with AI in one day. So the efficiencies that can be created are absolutely crazy in terms of output that we can achieve. Of course, you can only achieve that output if you understand what the inputs need to be. So therefore, garbage in, garbage out. But if you know exactly what you want, you will get the outcome and probably better. So on the weekend, I was just sharing with Anthony, on the weekend, we ran an event, a workshop for occupational therapists. There was 30 of them in the room and they deal with kids, kids who are autistic on the spectrum, they've got some sort of something that they need help with. And so they have to, they're helping these kids live better lives and to, integrate into society better, et cetera. And they are a pivotal part of the development of those children. So over 6 hours, we used AI, and not just ChatGPT. We're talking about AI. We used ChatGPT. We used Midjourney for the artwork. We used Suno, SUNO.ai to create songs. And by the time those 6 hours were done, we created six new games that didn't ever exist, that were playable. They had play tested it, they pitched it to each other, and you know, there was invested. We sort of had a Shark Tank type thing happening. But in 6 hours, if I had to build that without the use of AI, that would have taken about 6 months at least. So what they did in 6 hours, in teams of five, six fives are 30. So teams of five, 6 hours, they achieved what somebody would take 6 months to do per game. It's AI is changing.
It's amazing. The world. It is amazing how that can happen. And I think there are two important points there. One is that there's not one solution. You know, when it comes to AI, there's multiple things that you're plugging in, and it's the ability to be able to plug those things in together, which is going to create better outcomes than simply looking and saying, there's one solution, that's fine, that'll do everything that I need, because it just doesn't. And I think that's one thing to understand. And then on the flip side is the other part that you said earlier on, which is it's about what you put in. You know, garbage in, garbage out, you've got to put the right things in. The interesting thing about both of those points is that just mimics human nature as well, because we don't have meaningful conversations if we don't input meaningful conversations. And what you and I can achieve separately is nothing like what we can achieve together. So it's really interesting to me that even though there's this whole kind of people are trying to bring AI in and thinking it's shortcutting and everything into it, it does to a degree, but there's still this, it's never going to replace the human element that is going to need to put that input in and be able to see how things can be utilized together. That's where the value is. It's just shortcutting processes to get to better outcomes quicker.
Yep. So human intelligence plus artificial intelligence allows you creativity, unstoppable creativity, and include in there time. We talked about time, the value of time. You can only do these things, you can only achieve these efficiencies if you have time. Time gives you time to process, to think through solutions. If you're reactive all day, every day, you're not going to create solutions that are as good as if you had time to sit down, think through it all, talk to the AIs that we have available. By the way, there's, as you said, not just ChatGPT. Did you know that you can get different results depending on which AI you talk to? It's become just like the search engines were. You know, Yahoo gives you different results. Google gives you different results. Bing, is that part of Bing's Microsoft? Yeah. So depending on which one you talk to, you get actually different data. So now you need to learn how they all work and think. Another thing is the human brain is such a complex and smart organ that now, as soon as you read something, your brain already knows whether it was written by AI. Have you had that experience where you go,
"Oh yes,
man, that person.
Oh yes." let me share with you and the listeners something, because anyone that knows me knows that I post on LinkedIn fairly regularly, in fact, 3 times a week, and I do so very genuinely, and it frustrates me no end that people are ticking the box by commenting without actually engaging properly. So they're using an AI tool. And the reason you can tell so easily is that I have deliberately had this strategy for a little bit where I write a headline, much like a newspaper would write a headline, to drag people in, unashamedly about that. What that headline and the connection with the video that I ultimately post is sometimes minimal. It's enough to tease you into the concept, but it's not necessarily exactly the same thing. The content of the post generally says something along the lines, has one statement and says, watch the video. Pretty much bare bones. The amount of times where I get posts which say things like, oh, I'm looking forward to watching that video later. Really? It's a 60-second video. When later are you planning to watch it? Why would you comment on that? It's because they're ticking a box with commenting. And you can see, you can also, you read the comments and you can see if you read 10 in a row, I guarantee you there's at least three that are almost identical to one another. And you can see the role that AI is playing in a space as simple as that. And we can tell when it's someone real and it's not, because at the end of the day, the human element, that's why I love podcasting so much, is because sharing stories, they're our unique experiences and our version of those unique experiences. That's what separates one person from the next. And AI can't replace that. And it can't give you those stories in the same way. And it doesn't have that ability to respond. I plucked out that story on about LinkedIn because of something that you said. AI does not have that ability to know my stories and to choose that right story to say in a particular way, because I could have told that story and made it last 5 minutes rather than 30 seconds, depending on the audience, right? So all of those factors is what the human element is, which is huge because it's what we connect with. The AI is providing that link to make processes run better and consistently, but not to replace the human part.
Yep. And the reason I said, do you remember the internet? That started the internet because history repeats itself. What we experience with the internet, we're now experiencing with AI. When the internet came out, Google was the World Wide Web. Everything was about the world. And then a couple of years later, it became granular and down, it became localized. And our data became all about what's around me. If I typed in restaurant, I didn't get the restaurant in my nearest city. I got the restaurants within a kilometer or two of my house. So it became tailored. And I believe that that's the same thing that's going to happen with AI. We're talking about the AIs that are commenting. So that was back in the day with the internet. When Google came out, Google released Google Reviews. And you could see very well that all these reviews were all fake reviews just created by a bot. And they had bots back then. They were just, wow, 5-star, A+, great food. And it was just thousands of these things. And you went, I'm losing trust in this. What happens when people start to do that? They abuse the system, is regulation comes in. And then things are put into place to avoid that. And so that's, you know, with the speed at how AI is moving, I don't think regulation is far away. There was an image of, I think it was the White House or something, with fire, which then caused the stock market to take a dive like in a couple of hours, because that went viral. This was, I don't know, a couple of months ago. It went viral, and then they had to announce it all over the news that it is a fake, you know, generated photo. It's not real. And then the stock market came back to normal. So there is going to be, and there's regulation around, there will be regulation, I believe, it's not there yet, around what images and stuff you can create or people that you can use. Actually, I'm already starting to see certain names that you put into Midjourney, for example. It's a tool that I use. The image will pop up, it'll generate it, but then in about 10 seconds, it gets deleted because Midjourney now is starting to put in protocols to delete those images. So yeah, the regulation will come, history will repeat itself. And because we have lived it, we knew what came with the dot-com, we knew what came with, you know, the mobilization of all of our technology. I think we will have a good grasp on what's about to come with AI. The tools are there, people are gonna abuse it, people are gonna use it for good. With great power comes great responsibility. That's a geek in me. And so we have to, it's the ones who learn how to maximize it and use it for good that will thrive. And that's what we're seeing right now. You know, there are thought leaders who before they couldn't, they was too scared to publish. Now, because they can get it out there on multiple platforms, et cetera. They're getting a good audience. So yeah, back to you.
Yeah, I think that is the interesting part is where is AI taking us? And I know I'm just going to a little plug in here that for listeners of the podcast, there'll be some bonus content afterwards. So you're going to have to follow the link in the show notes afterwards. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about leveraging AI to connect with the right leads and growing your business. So there'll be some bonus tips in there. So we'll come back to that later on. But just to talk about the future really with AI and systems, you know, where do you see the next steps and where do you see it happening over the next 5 to 10 years in terms of how it's going to integrate with business?
Yeah, for sure. Great question. Where do I see it going? So first of all, I don't think anybody in the world can answer what's going to happen in the next 5 or 10 years because of the rapid pace that this thing is moving at. A year ago, when we first got it, no one knew that today I could sit here and we could type in and generate a video that looks like a movie. My kid is 8 years old. My son is 8 years old. My daughter is 6. We sit down at night and just for fun, we'll make up a story. And we will say, hey, it's on the phone. ChatGPT has got an app. Here's the good guys. Here's the bad guys. Here's the scenario. Here's the weapons to use. Here's the obstacles that they have to overcome. Here's the ultimate goal. And we'll input the hero's journey, essentially. And it'll be about dragons. It'll be about magicians. It'll be about ninjas. It'll be about whatever. And it'll craft the most beautiful story. And it'll involve them in there and all this kind of stuff. Now, this was not possible a year ago. Now it is. In 6 months or 3 months, probably, it will be able to take that story and turn it into a video. They will no longer need to watch Netflix. They'll be able to tell it, create me a story about da 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 da. And because they know the story arc frameworks and all that sort of stuff, they'll be able to input that. You know, other people who don't know those things, they will not be able to, ask those questions or give it that input. So these kids, that I grew up with the internet. I got internet in 1996. I think I was about 17 years old. My kids have had access to technology their entire lives. They have access to AI at this young of an age. It's English is now the biggest, the largest, the most widely used programming language. It's no longer C++ and stuff. As long as you have a good command of the English language, you'll be able to talk to it and tell it, and it has comprehension and it understands what you want. So you ask me, what do I see in the future of this? I believe that it is going to be all around us. We will be able to simply talk and tell it what we need, and it will craft it. In fact, I'm not going to go there. I know that is already happening. It's already going to be happening. You'll just be able to talk, and things will be getting built, and you'll be able to watch it coming to life right in front of your eyes. And as I said, what used to take us 6 months now takes us 6 hours, which will soon take 6 minutes, which is even more mind-blowing. So one of the things that I always wish for was the ability to live a long life. And I think now with this technology, we will be able to live a much longer life because we are able to compress time. I know we're probably getting philosophical and stuff in there, but I'll let you guide me there.
No. I love that because I think that's the biggest thing, isn't it? It's time is something that we can't get back. It is something that anyone that's been in business is usually time poor. And it's something that you do want to create more time. It is one of the great things about AI that it has that capability of giving back time to put into other things, and you choose what you want to put attention into. And I think that's couple that with, as you say, I think people are they're already living longer, and that's going to extend further, which puts, you know, other pressure on the fact that people are going to work longer as a result of it as well. The sort of the idea of retiring, sort of 60 or thereabouts is probably going to be a thing of the past very quickly. And so the value that people can bring, I think that's where it changes, because I even look at it and say, is what's really interesting is, you know, even some from my parents' generation are still working, but their idea of working is they go into the office for a handful of hours a week. That's mostly, they've still got an office there, and it's mostly sitting down and having a coffee and having a chat and sharing some stories with their older clients and some of the people that are there, and still just inputting a little bit of information. Well, I think that if the AI is capturing some of that, then that's going to be creating more value on an ongoing basis for people. So I think that there's this whole flow-on effect of where time is going to, our perception of time and what it does for us is going to change. And I think bringing that even round full circle, you were talking about your kids, and I know you've spoken about them to me in the past, is that here's the thing, is that AI is enabling you to spend more time with your family and be able to work from home and do all of those kinds of things. At the same time, AI is allowing you to engage with your family and allowing your kids, 6 and 8, to create businesses for themselves, right?
Yep, exactly. They're building a portfolio of books that they're going to be launching on Amazon. Then my son is creating artwork on Midjourney, 3D artwork, which he's then going to be using a 3D printer to print. He's using, ChatGPT. Now he's starting to use Gemini, where he's creating stories behind each of these pieces. So, for example, he's got a crocodile with a rock guitar, and he's got a rock band and all this kind of stuff. And he's making up stories about these characters, and then he's selling them to his friends. So they're already excited to get the crocodile rock guitar guy. It doesn't exist. It doesn't exist in anywhere else other than in my son's head and on his phone and now on his 3D printer. And then he's going to be selling this to his people. At the age of 8, I had no idea about business. He's learning about business. He's interacting. He's getting people excited. Here's another fun little thing. We've just started playing board games every night. So every night we spend time, we play board games with the kids before going to sleep. One of the favorite games right now is called Snake Oil. Now it's a funny parody on Cards Against Humanity. That's it. So it's where you pick up a card and you are a customer, and then all the other people around have 6 cards in their hand, and they have to make up a story with 2 of the cards. So Snake Oil is all about being a snake oil salesman. It's the best pitcher, right? So at the age of 8, this kid is standing up in front of an audience of 3-4. Now every time anybody comes over, he wants to play the game. So he's learning how to pitch and how to sell and how to use his imagination to create different things. I can't wait to see what these kids actually do with the technology once they understand the true power of what it can do.
Yeah, it is. You know, do you know what I love about all of that as well is that we talk about AI in terms of being able to do things that otherwise we might not be great at. So whether it's writing, whether it's creating an image, we talk about it in terms of systems and creating systems and creating consistency in systems and speeding up those processes. But what's really intriguing about all of that is there's also, I think, going to be an increase in creativity. For too long, the arts has been put aside as not being a major thing. You know, we've got this whole idea of what art is as something that's, most people haven't valued it. You know, it's too many people have the artworks that they have on their walls are just prints of something they don't even know what it is, or it's just, without, creating original artworks and lots of other things around it. And art stems into that whole idea of creative focus. And I love the fact that what you're doing with your children in terms of creating the books is, again, the output is only as good as what you're putting in. And so it is that imagination and encouraging that imagination that it sparks all of these new characters and opportunities and things that come out of it. And that's being taken next level and being shared with people. It's not just a creative writing essay that you're being forced to do in a classroom. This is next level, right?
Yep, exactly. And you're talking about art. Yeah, you are 100% right. The arts have been sort of, we don't have time to do art anymore. Whereas if we look at history, there was some amazing artists. The stuff that they've created in the past, we would struggle to try and recreate that now. I'm talking about architecture, buildings, etc. The big giant cathedrals that we saw. We don't build those anymore. But with the access to these tools, it allows people to start creating again, thinking and being free. And when you free someone of the constraints, they start to create some amazing things. Somebody, I'm a member of Facebook groups, which is to do with AI art. And every day I see the most amazing things. This morning I saw Swarovski inspired fruit, where the entire fruit is crystal, but it still shows you the inside of the fruit. And that artwork is absolutely brilliant. And just to see how how it looks and the imagination that, you know, that prompted it to create that, I was just blown away. And it's gonna be the next, I was gonna say the next enlightenment age, but there is gonna be something magical happening because people have access to these tools.
I love that. And we're gonna come back to, as I said, in the bit of the bonus content, talking about leveraging AI and really helping you connect with leads and growing your business. We're gonna come back to that in our bonus content. I just wanna change the focus a little bit for now, because I'm fascinated by your journey and you're so motivated and as you said, it's a bit of ADD, but it's getting into it's really going with all of that technology and moving in that. But tell me about it. When you know, you were a 17-year-old and the internet's just come out, I'm sure there's no way that you would have thought this is where you're going to end up at this point in time in your life. So tell me, what was the dream at 17 years of age? Where were you going?
Wow. Okay, cool. At 17, I wanted to go work on a cruise ship. that was my thing. I just wanted to go work on a cruise ship. My father said, you can go work on the cruise ship, but you have to pay me rent of $5,000 a month. And I said, but that's how much my salary is going to be. And he goes, well, you're going to pay it all to me, or you have the choice to go to university. And I said, I get zero balance. I go, fine, I'll go to university. And so I went to university. And when I got to university, that's when the internet came out. I don't know if you remember the old printers with those holes on the side. And I've got
yes.
You remember that?
I
remember printing something going, wow, I just printed that. I was looking at the screen and then it popped out over there. That's amazing. And I registered my first email address. I remember we had projects to do and they said, use the internet. And I had to do I did agricultural science. So that was my bachelor's was in agricultural science. My PhD was in secondary biofuels and climate change. So just to show you, it's absolutely nothing to do with what I do right now. So back to agricultural science, internet just came out. I typed in how to grow radishes. Now for the listeners, you know, this is R-rated. But the first thing that popped up was, how would you like to play with my radishes? I was like, what the hell is this? At 17, 17. That's how regulation came into play, right? Everything on the internet was porn when it first came out. And then all of that got removed from the internet, luckily. But I couldn't do an assignment on how to grow radishes without coming across that stuff. And it's evolved now, and we don't see any of that, which is great. So anyway, so does that answer your question about 17? I had no idea what I was going to do. In fact, 27, I had no idea what I was going to do. Only at 37 did I realize what I wanted to do. So I think it takes a while for any person on their journey to figure out what they actually want to do, what impact they want to create. And I think there's a famous saying, it says, a person has two lives or something like that. The first one they're born with, and the second one is when they realize why they were put on this planet. And that's when you're filled with impact and you know the value of every day, every minute, every hour, and what you want to create in this world. And so that's what drives the motivation. My motivation is fueled by, hey, I might have only 20 years on this planet based on my family's genetic history. So I want to maximize the amount of time, the amount of impact that I can create in those 20 years. And impact is only created by sharing with other people, by lifting other people up, by changing lives. And when you do that, that's when you're truly happy. I was sharing with somebody earlier, we had a call and I'm mentoring this guy. And he said, hey, you know, when you first started your agency, how was business? I said, well, I went through all these hard times, which every business owner has to go through. And then there's the period of happiness where everything is systemized and everything's working and you've got more time, more money than you know what to do with. And this was in my 20s. All I did was go party, play pool, and, you know, go out nightclubbing and stuff. And then 4 years later, I woke up and said, there's got to be more to life than this. And that's when I found my purpose. And when I found my purpose, I've just been motivated ever since then. So, yeah. Again, a lot to unpack.
I absolutely love that. You know, and you know what the funny thing is, so I sat in a session recently with a demographer. And one of the biggest growth areas is going to be in Australia is definitely going to be around that agricultural science area and integrating technology into that. So you might be going full circle yet. You might just not have realized it. So It could be coming back. I mean, I find it interesting that there certainly was, and it'll be interesting to know what you're going to be like when your kids are a bit older, if they're the similar kind of attitude in terms of pushing towards the university age. I had the flip side with my children, to be honest. Neither of them went through university. They'd have done other courses and things. And one of my daughters would like to do the cruise ship thing, but that's because she's a singer. So there's a reason for doing it. But the interesting thing is about having parents that really wanted you to go down the path of university and to have these solid degrees and do those things behind you. And I experienced similar thing where I studied broadcast journalism did a BA in communications at university. And, you know, I know my mum, if you're listening, hi, mum, that at the time she said, but afterwards you're going to do a real degree, aren't you? You're going to do economics or do something like that, aren't you? And it was, and I never did. But it's interesting how there was that generation that really pushed you, and perhaps as a result why you're so entrepreneurial as you are, because you're incredibly entrepreneurial with everything that you do, and you're clearly pushing that down to your kids as well, and seeing that impact flowing through, because it's not for everyone that kind of idea of growing things and creating new things and watching them, you know, blossom.
Yep. Yep. Well, I remember I used to work at McDonald's, and we're talking 1996. I was getting paid $5.46 an hour. And I remember coming home and my dad said, how many burgers did you make today? I said, well, I think I made, if I calculated, probably around 400, 450 burgers. He's like, wow. And how much does a burger cost? I said, oh, it's about $5. He goes, so you made them that amount of money? And I went, wow, I made that amount of money? Wow. And I only got paid, what, $25 for that? That's crazy. So that was one of my first, you know, aha moments. The second one was I was working at Hugo Boss, and me and the other team members, we would compete. And we would compete to see who could sell more suits. Now, each Hugo Boss suit was $2,000. And on average, I'd sell about 10 a day. So every day I was generating Hugo Boss $20,000. And I used to walk home with $150. And I went, hang on a second. There's something, I need to either be Hugo Boss, I need to be the store that's selling these things and make better margins. So that's how the entrepreneurial spirit came in. You asked me about university and my, you know, my kids, they won't have the pressures to go to university. If they want to, they will go if they want to, but we won't be pressuring them the way we were pressured. The reason being, they are learning so much from being around people. They are learning so much from being around the friends that we have. When I run events, they are on stage with me. My son was coming to entrepreneur events with me when he was, I think, about 1 year old. I would literally carry this baby into networking events and sit down and network with people with a baby. So, you know, I promised them that they would never have a normal life. That's not what they're going to subscribe to, or that's not what we're going to subscribe to them. And that's, they've accepted that, and they see the difference between what they do and how they think versus their friends. You know, this morning, I don't know if you know, the Colts has these little Pokemon things. And yes. So my daughter went, okay, cool. I have 5 spare. And she says to her brother, you've got 5 spare. I challenge you. Let's see who can come back home with the most traded to complete our collection. By the time I walked to the school, at the gate, she went to somebody, hey, do you want to swap Pokemon? Did you have any? Da-da-da-da. She asked about 3 people. One had it. And then she did a deal before she even got to the school gate. You know, I was like, that's my daughter. So, yeah, they're going to be entrepreneurs for sure. And I'm excited about that.
I love it. Just to wrap up the main part of the podcast, and again, reminding everyone to look for the link to be able to see the bonus content. How do people engage with you? What's the opportunity around business authorities and working with you moving forward?
Yeah, for sure. If you're interested, feel free to email me. I'm a pretty easy to get a hold of. Just email me at johann@businessauthorities.com, or look me up on Google and jump on my Facebook. Message me on Facebook, and that's how you can connect with me. That's my main platform of communication. I don't do LinkedIn, unfortunately, but I am going to attempt to try and get it up in the next
couple
of
months. We'll convert you eventually into the ways and means of LinkedIn. And just thank you so much for being an amazing guest on the BizBytes program. There's more that we can explore, and there's more that we will explore in future episodes. I feel absolutely positive about that. But for now, before we go into the bonus content, just thank you everyone for listening in. And Johan, thank you so much for being an amazing guest.
Thank you so much, man. It's been an honor to be here, and I love doing this. So thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, everyone. Well, stay tuned, of course, for the next episode of BizBytes. Don't forget to subscribe. And of course, look in the show notes for how to get in contact with Johan and how to access the bonus content. BizBytes is brought to you by ComTogether for all your marketing needs, so you can build your brand, engage audiences on multiple platforms. Go to comtogether.com.au, follow the links to book an appointment for a free consultation.